Good morning. Wow. Give a few seconds here for a couple of the folks coming to the door, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Would you join me? Father, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, for your love and your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for you paying the penalty for our sin, Lord. We're reminded, Lord, during this time that you are God and Savior and our Redeemer, and that, Lord, you have reconciled us through the blood that was shed and the life that was given. And we thank you for that. And we praise you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us this day, that, Lord, you would use us where you've placed us, not only here, Lord, but when we get outside of this building. Use us, Lord. Give us the opportunities that we need to share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Would remind you of the prayer cards are in front of you. Pull those out. Fill in your prayer request or praises. We are in the process of getting a board out front to put the praises on, so you'll be able to see as the prayers have been asked how they've been answered. So. Yeah, I'm always afraid somebody else has to skedaddle. In fact, Mindy and Mom are skedaddling off to Pennsylvania to take care of little Lou right after service. Go keep them in your prayers as well. This isn't going to be your traditional triumphal entry, Palm Sunday type sermon. It's going to be a little different. But we are going to look at John chapter 12. And before we get to that, I was reading down through this and there was a lot of things that kept jumping out at me. And I remembered a story and I had to try to find it, which I finally did. And it's about the story of a young man who is traveling with his commanding officer during World War II. And they board a train. Now, the only available seats, remember in the trains back then, the seats faced each other, right? Two seats here, two seats there, and they faced each other. No, the only available seats were right across from an attractive young woman who was traveling with her elderly grandmother. So the young man and the young lady engaged in pleasant conversation and were talking as they went along on the trip. The soldier and the young woman kept eyeing one another, and the attraction was obviously mutual. Suddenly, the train went through a very dark tunnel, and the car became pitch black. Immediately, two sounds were heard. The smack of a kiss, and then the whack of a slap across the face. Yeah. The grandmother thought, "I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm proud of her for giving him a slap. He deserved it." The commanding officer thought, "I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl, but it's a shame that she missed his face and hit me instead." The young girl thought, "I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing it." As the train broke into the sunlight, the young soldier could not wipe the smile off his face. He had just seized the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and strike his commanding officer across the face. Now, the young man knew an opportunity when he saw one, right? That's what we're going to look at today. I want to share with you a few people that took advantage of the opportunities presented to them. Some of them were great opportunities, some of them not so good. We're going to start with John chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Going on to verse 9. When the large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, right, where he was at, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Now we're talking about the triumphal entry. You heard it. You heard the story from Mark that Evan read to us or quoted us about what happened before. Different perspectives, different people. I want us all to understand this, that they have different priorities of what they think is important, right? This is what John is recording for us. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna." Now I'm going to pause right there. Hosanna, we take it to mean like hallelujah. But what it means is save us. They're calling for him to save them. You can look it up. It's all over Google. It's out there. So that's what it means. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." They're gaining nothing. The world has gone after them. Let's talk about Mary right off the bat. Mary had taken the opportunities she had had with Jesus and had sat at his feet, right? She'd listened to what was going on as he taught, while Mary was often out serving. And we know that she fussed about that. Martha. Mary was the one sitting at his feet. Martha was complaining. So you stepped into that. Martha was the one that was complaining, and she went to Jesus and told him. We know that story. Now, at this moment where we're in at, Mary saw an opportunity to worship and honor her Lord and Savior. And she took it. She took the opportunity she had. Now, it is surmised that she was doing this out of gratitude and love, because remember, he had just raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. So there was a reason for her to show gratitude. She knew him as her Lord and Savior, but this was the added thing, and she had the chance to do it, so she did it. How often do we have the opportunity to show gratitude to Jesus, and we fail to do it? We talked about this in Sunday school this morning in the discipleship class. And let me make this a little bit, or take it a little bit closer to home for you. How often do you have that opportunity and fail to do it? We need to ask ourselves that. Now, Martha and Lazarus were there. Lazarus was reclining at the table. He's the one that had been raised from the dead. Martha was still doing what she always did, serving. Who was it that remembered? Mary. Mary remembered what had been done. And she honored She honored Jesus for doing it. Now, Judas was there. He is also remembered. Obviously, we're reading about it. He too had an opportunity. He had the opportunity to show honor to Mary for what she'd done. But that's not what he did. Huh. Instead, he made it about money. And that was a way of masking his true intent by saying it was for the poor, right? It was, I'm looking out for the poor. He had an opportunity. He took it, but it was the wrong type of opportunity that he took. He could have been doing the other and honoring Mary in this and honoring Jesus as well. Then we get to the large crowd that has showed up at Lazarus's door, more or less, right? And that's in verse 9. They gathered when they saw an opportunity to hear more from Jesus. They had heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead, and they gathered believing and wanted further teaching. These were people who were willing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they're moving forward in their faith, or trying to. Now, it sort of changes gears if yours is broken into paragraphs like mine is, and the plot to kill Lazarus. That's the title of the next part in verse 11. The many Jews of verse 11, having heard the gospel and witnessed the raising of Lazarus, were no longer following the chief priests and their teachings, and were leaving them and taking the opportunity to follow Jesus. They saw something that was better. They understood, like what was said before, that this was possibly the Messiah, the Christ, and they were going to follow him. And then we have the chief priests. We have these guys, right? They had the same opportunity as everyone else to believe. But in their lust for power, they not only planned to kill Jesus, but also Lazarus. You see, that way they would there would be no proof of what Jesus taught, of Lazarus being raised, and Jesus' words and his teachings could be refuted. So let's kill them both and have it done. Mark 14:2 tells us that they did not want it to happen during the Passover. That's important. They did not want it to happen during that time. That's Mark, I have it down here. Mark 14:2. Then we move to the large crowd. And they came for the feast, right? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, happened about the same time. And they sort of bleed into each other at this time. And having heard about Jesus, everybody was coming to town. They took the opportunity to celebrate his coming. Palm branches were a common symbol of victory and joy and triumphant welcome. So they, thinking him to be their conquering king, shouted and waved the palm branches in joy and celebration. Imagine that, the noise. Now, my kids back there, my adult children, both of them, I'll claim him as my son. They grew up watching the triumphal entry every year that was done in a play. They saw the palm branches and the people shouting, "Hosanna to the Lord." They watched Jesus come in on a donkey. And it was exciting just in that room with a couple hundred people doing it. I can't imagine what it was like with thousands of people being there and them yelling out and shouting, "Hosanna." Now, we do keep in mind, we do need to keep in mind that not everyone there was there to see Jesus. They were there because some of them lived there. They were there because they'd gathered for the feast. They were there for the Passover. And they may have been hoping to see that miracle-working rabbi that they heard about. And some were just there out of curiosity. Roman citizens were there on vacation. They wanted to see what all the hubbub was about, right? So they may have been there for that. And of course, there were the Roman guards and those that were stationed there. And all of a sudden, the whole city is presented with the opportunity, with an opportunity. They hear the shouting. They hear about a king coming into the city, into Jerusalem, entering Jerusalem. People are shouting and hurrying towards the eastern gate. That's important because that's where the Messiah is supposed to come in. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. But our Lord was no conquering king. He did not enter the city atop a blazing white stallion. He could have. I thought about this when I was doing this. He turned water into wine, right? What's stopping him from taking a little donkey and making it into a blazing white stallion? He could have done it at any time. He could have sent them out. Said, go get me this horse. That's not what he did. That's not what he did. Instead, he entered on the back of a donkey's colt, a lowly beast of burden, a symbol of peace and humility. But it was also a deliberate claim to be the Messiah. You see, verse 15 is a direct, mostly, quote from Zechariah 9:9, which is prophetic, telling when the Messiah was going to return on a donkey. So Jesus knew this. He took an opportunity that was given to him and did exactly what he needed to do. Now, his disciples, and we're not talking about just the 12, we're talking about possibly way more than the 72 that he sent out before, were also shouting in joyful celebration, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Luke 19. And Jesus doesn't stop them. He doesn't stop them from celebrating and calling him king. In fact, he admonishes the Pharisees in Luke 19 when they tell Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples. Tell them to shut up." Right? They're not. You're no king. He answers them, "I tell you, if these were silent, even the stones would cry out. Even the stones would cry out." Cloaks were spread on the road as Jesus entered Jerusalem. Palm branches are waving in the air. People are shouting in joy and celebrated the coming of their king. Jesus took the opportunity that was presented to him and did what he knew needed to do. Now, they, those people around him, in their exuberance, celebrated what they thought his entrance into the city meant. Freedom from the tyranny of Rome. A king would sit on the throne of David that was actually in lineage of David. Very few, if any at all, really knew what his kingdom would entail. And that it would, and what it would be and is. There's one of our early hymns within the Church of God, and I'm going to quote to you from it. I'm not going to sing it. Thank me later. 'Tis a kingdom of peace, one that reigns from within. It shall ever increase in our souls, and we possess it right here when he saves from all sin, and 'twill last while the ages shall roll. That's Barney E. Warren in The Kingdom of Peace. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace. Now, I want you to understand that verses 16 through 19, there is some commentary and narrative there from the author, from John. You see, at that time, even the disciples didn't completely understand what was going on. They knew that he was possibly the Christ. They were pretty sure about it. They had told him he was, like we talked about. But what did this entail? They were still looking for that conquering king. See, they didn't understand at first, but later they would. It was not till after his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension that they finally got it. That they would fully understand. That they would know that his kingdom was and is not of this world. but that it is an eternal kingdom. Not one of man's making, but one that is open to all for whosoever believes. Amen? Amen. Now, the crowd that had been following Jesus when he raised Lazarus took the opportunity and continued from when that happened on through to be witnesses of what Jesus did with Lazarus, of the raising of Lazarus. And they did it to those in the city and all who would listen. And the more have heard of it, the more of what Jesus did, more came to meet Jesus. Because it doesn't end with the triumphal entry. He goes in and teaches. And as we read here, Pharisees didn't like it. They didn't like it at all. But they completely missed the opportunity of salvation and eternal life. They were in fear since they were gaining nothing. And as the world had gone after him, now that is an exaggeration, okay? That has gone beyond that. They didn't understand that they were actually prophesying about how it would go out into the world, about the message of Christ, how salvation would be brought to the whole world. And it is still being brought to the whole world. Each and every person born into this world has the opportunity to allow Jesus to enter into their lives, to triumphantly overcome their sin, no matter who they are, no matter what they have done. Doesn't matter. The worst criminal, the worst person you can think of, the most vilest evil person still has the opportunity to come to Christ, to be forgiven for their sin. God made a way through the life given and the blood shed for you to be saved and sanctified and set apart for God's use, to be reconciled and at peace with God. And each of us are presented with opportunities as believers and as Christians to share the gospel, to tell of how he entered into our lives and how he triumphed over our sin. You can do that. You don't have to be up front of a church. You can talk with somebody, share the gospel, share what happened to you. All of us can do that. Think of the opportunities that you've been given. Stop and think about those opportunities that you've had to show gratitude, to follow Jesus, to share the gospel. Because the enemy also offers opportunities on a regular basis, on a constant basis, to follow the world, to satisfy the passions and desires of the flesh, as he did, or as the world did, with the Pharisees and with Judas. They, in their pride, the Pharisees, couldn't even see it. What's stopping us from seeing? What were the opportunities that we're missing? But God also offers us opportunities to follow him every day, to be cleansed of all sin and to be his, to deny ourselves, pick up our crosses daily, and follow him. You have to choose between the opportunities presented to you every day, where they're coming from, one side or the other. You have to choose which ones you're going to follow. And you need to pray for those opportunities to move closer to God. Pray for those opportunities to move into a deeper relationship with him. Pray for those opportunities to share the gospel. Because that's what we're called to do. So, I'm going to close with this. I want to remind you all that Thursday night is Maundy Thursday. We're going to do a retelling of the story of what happened that night. We'll share in the Seder meal just elements of it. We'll do the foot washing. You can participate if you want. If you just want to watch or just not stay back in another room, you can. Men will go with men. Women will go with women. And then you'll get a short teaching, because this year it's not going to be a message. It's going to be a teaching on the covenants, the new covenant and the old covenant. So if you're interested in any of that, I encourage you to come out. We'll try to keep you here no more than an hour or so. And then we'll also have a candlelight service that goes with this. So I encourage you to come out for that. The altars are open. If you're looking for opportunities or you've missed them, you can ask for forgiveness. When you realize what you've done, it, God is always there. He will always forgive. And if you're looking for opportunities to serve, come and pray. If you're looking for opportunities to share, then come and pray. If you just want to give thanks for the opportunities God's given you, then come and pray. Because God wants to hear from you. You know why? Because He loves you. And what's more, you're His kids. You're His daughters. You're His sons. And He loves you with a love that knows no ends. And He shows us that love by what happened this whole week. Would you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for the life given and the bloodshed. We thank You, Lord, that You give us opportunities to praise You like we are today, to worship You as we are today. But You also give us those opportunities, Lord, where we are blessed. Help us, Lord, not to fall into those opportunities, those temptations of the world, but to deny ourselves, to pick up our crosses daily, and to follow You. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, God is good. Amen. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are truly blessed. Blessed beyond measure. And You are so good to us, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for this congregation of Your church. I thank You, Lord, for the love here. I thank You, Lord, for Your blessing us, Lord, with so much and in so many ways. We thank You for the food we're about to partake in the time of fellowship. And we do it all for Your glory and Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.